Today's Tuesday, July 23rd. I almost said July 3rd. It's not, though.
July is gone.
July is gone, and my wedding day approaches.
Now, before we get started into the news, we got government news today. But before we do that, I want to do a quick over-under, Krista. I'm going to set the over-under at 5. So do you understand how over-under works?
No.
Over means you think more than 5. Under means you think less than 5. Number of times Wendell has completely watched all the way through the Picard teaser video.
Over.
3 times.
Oh, really?
when they're playing the card game and they cut and it's Brent Spiner and he's dead, were you fully erect at that moment? They're like,
is it actually, does it look good?
It looks like it has the possibility of not being completely terrible.
I'd say they did an amazing job getting the wrinkles out.
Yeah.
But he looks a little bloated. It looks like somebody left Commander Data in a creek somewhere for that 20 years.
Oh.
He took on some water.
Well, he might have been some fillers.
No, he's just old.
Well, they opened the drawer.
You get more gaunt as you get old, though.
They opened the drawer that had, like, the parts of him in there, which kind of spoiled the surprise. But, yeah, he looked kind of bloated in the drawer, too, so.
Well, you know.
Well, no, I mean, it's Brent Spiner. Yeah. He's put on a couple, you know, since his Data days. And he's an old man.
You think he got that call and was like, oh man, I'm going to have to lose a lot of weight.
I wonder what it was like when he sat down in that makeup chair and like he was excited about it and then he's like, oh my god, I forgot how many hours this takes. Also, 7 of 9, she has not hit the wall at all.
No.
Looking very good.
Yeah.
Well, I saw screenshots of her on Imgur and I was like, I don't know the original. So, but she looks nice.
Now, here's the thing. The one thing I noticed I didn't like about it. I'll see if you picked up on this. And I might be wrong about this, but looking back, was it true that in the Next Generation, all of the Federation ships had really bright bridges, and the bad guys had dark bridges?
Yes.
But there's a dark bridge now
on
this ship.
Yeah.
I didn't like that.
Yeah, that's probably the influence of like Abrams and Discovery and stuff, because Discovery's ship wasn't really like super bright either, and it was the mirror universe thing, but then it still didn't get really super bright after that. And
was that like going for gritty realism or like,
yeah,
like an art direction?
Yeah,
choice?
Yeah, they wanted it to be like a darker, not your grandfather's Star Trek. And it was just kind of like, come on,
I'm
guys,
kind of over that trend. And
but this should literally be your grandfather's Star Trek.
Yeah,
that's what everybody wants.
Yeah.
Anyway, just a quick aside on that. I don't know if I believe that number.
I don't know if I believe that either.
I wouldn't have watched it 3 times, except for there was somebody posted a thing that I missed on the second time through, which was there's a little tiny sign that says so many days since the last assimilation, and it was like 5,000 days, and it's like, what does that even mean? Is this
have you already been typing up fanfic theories on Reddit?
It's like, is this whole series going to be about,
the
Borg? So see, the thing, the thing that's so frustrating about the Borg is that I have to explain this now. I have to explain this. Because, so, the Borg, like, Roddenberry was around when the Borg were introduced. And it was kind of meant that, it was meant to be that, like, the Borg were, like, this unstoppable force. You couldn't reason with them. They were machine-like in their relentlessness. They were almost like, you know, a simpler form of life that would just sort of devour the galaxy. But if it was a simple form of life that was going to devour the galaxy, it's like, all right, well, you know, we can create a nature preserve for them and just contain them. But since it's sentient, intelligent life, it's like you can't exactly do that. The Borg consume everything in their path, and they were basically unstoppable. But every time the Federation encountered the Borg up to, like, in Voyager, where it was like, oh, yeah, Voyager versus another Borg cube, not really a big deal. They stopped being that, like, extremely terrible threat. And so here we have, like, the Borg featuring again in, like, the first episode. And so they seem to be less of a threat because they're just always there.
Maybe that's, like, how it's just, like, an opening. Like, oh, we're going to deal with the Borg, but then we're going to show you the real baddie. Maybe.
Speaking of inherently evil and darkly sentient, our first story is about none other than Mr. Ajit Pai.
Oh, no.
There you go.
Ajit Pai's new gift to cable companies would kill local fees and rules. So if you're not in the know, cities and counties in America grant a what's called franchise rights to cable companies. And it's like, all right, we will grant you a limited monopoly in our area if you do ABC XYZ. And a lot of the times, those cities and municipalities will level taxes. Well, there's a federal statute that says that that can only be a maximum of like 5%. A lot of places are like 7% taxes. And there's other rules, like you have to give schools free internet or public libraries free internet. And this is trying to change the rules and preempt them to say, well, 5% is in force, and if you provide certain kinds of services to like city buildings or whatever, maybe that would count toward the 5%, or CapEx costs or infrastructure costs or whatever might count toward that 5%.
What a pesky rule lawyers and ne'er-do-wells are pointing out that the GPI kind of passed the buck on the broadband thing when he decided not to rule on net neutrality, or, you know, to rule that...
Pass it to the FTC.
They mean. Don't have... So why should they have the ability to set this rule?
It turns out that there might be a little bit of a double standard there.
And speaking of FCC and broadband, remember that time that through the FCC, we as taxpayers gave a ton of money to all the ISPs to build rural broadband?
That totally worked.
They kind of didn't do that.
Totally worked.
But they took the money, but then they made up a bunch of numbers. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah, that was a mess. Oh no, FCC has given ISPs another $563 million to build rural broadband networks. Guess what's still not going to happen?
Oh no, I'm excited. It's coming. This is the one. It's the big one. Eastern Kentucky. It's going
to
happen.
We are on the list. Kentucky is on the list.
Now, sure Krista, is.
When it comes time to buy your house, you'll be able to go way out in the county. And still get that sweet internet, because this will be done by then, right?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's...
Very exciting.
It's basically a carbon copy of the last deal, where they have tiers, where they have to meet a certain percentage of the first year.
They just pulled out the same contract again and just like, all
basically,
right.
You know, scratched out. They didn't even white it out. They just scratched it out and made photocopies of it. It's not even digital. So, yeah, that's not great, but certainly not surprising either.
No. Not even remotely surprising.
Now, speaking of the FTC, who may or may not have control of broadband at this point, who can say? But one thing that they do deal with are online businesses like YouTube, and they're not happy.
The FTC looks to change children's privacy law following complaints about YouTube. So, lawmakers are starting to notice that with YouTube, it's like, wait, there's a lot of kids' content here, and it's... There's like kids specific programming and
YouTube Kids.
YouTube is like, hey, our agreement says that if you're under 13, you're not allowed to use the service. And yet, we have stuff targeting children.
Listen, some adults like to watch that stuff.
But you could make the argument that YouTube is not creating that content; they're simply hosting it.
Yeah.
So
I think YouTube Kids also does allow children under 13, but there's a lot of ways to get from YouTube Kids to YouTube proper, which...
Are you over 13?
But
yes.
I still don't agree with this. Just monitor what your kids do.
Yeah.
It does seem like a strange thing that like you'd have to
We were looking at... I think it was a comment from last week. Somebody... they posted a link. I didn't follow the link, so I don't know how true this is. It's a YouTube comment, an ocean of salt. But... They said the average age of internet access in America was like 3 point something.
Like 3 years old?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
I didn't get internet until I was like 13.
Another way I thought about this was like making it illegal for children to get, to like slide into a lawnmower and get chopped up. Like, okay, but children shouldn't be playing with lawnmowers in the first place.
Well, but... Making it illegal doesn't... I mean, you can't prosecute the children.
Yeah.
But you can prosecute the lawnmower companies.
But you know who you can extract a lot of money from? YouTube.
Yeah. I wonder if this is going to be how they ultimately attack firearms makers.
Oh, they've already tried that. I think actually some judge allowed a lawsuit recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that sucks. Trump has, he always appears, and it's weird when Trump appears in the tech news because it's always really like ham-fisted. He's got a definite opinion, But it seems like it was informed 10 minutes ago by an aide.
You know?
And this one seems perhaps a little politically motivated, because we know that he is no fan of Mr. Bezos.
Trump says that he's looking into a Pentagon cloud contract for Amazon and Microsoft because we're getting a tremendous amount, or we're getting tremendous complaints, I guess. And that's definitely coming from Oracle, mostly.
Well, they listed several people, including Microsoft, who was complaining about it. Because I think Microsoft sees the writing on the wall. Yeah. And
although we're going to have a story about that in the business section later.
I was going to say
IBM, Oracle, and Microsoft, he mentioned.
IBM wants multi-cloud. IBM is like, look, we can deliver you the most amazing mainframes in the cloud. Mainframes were never designed with the cloud in mind, but we're going to stick them in the cloud, and it's going to be great.
Last week, Trump weighed in on the Libra situation and cryptocurrencies, and he was against it.
Surprise!
A lot of people have dogpiled onto that. Actually, yeah, he wasn't the first to do it. A lot of politicians have been against that. And it's been a question of how far will this go? You know, are they going to regulate? And it seems more and more like that answer is yes.
U.S. may bar big tech firms like Facebook from offering financial services and digital currencies. Democrats said to be proposing laws just days after Donald Trump demanded companies follow the rules because they wanted to become a bank. The most interesting thing that has come out of all of this, this is from the South China Morning Post, which is really interesting. I mean, I guess it's rerunning Reuters, but...
Maybe take it with a grain of salt.
One of the most interesting things to come out of this was the whole, like, what's to stop, like, Facebook's currency from supplanting other currency, in that if you want to use Facebook services, you have to use Facebook currency or Amazon currency to buy stuff from Amazon, because Amazon is getting to the point where it's large enough that, you know, could it get by without accepting U.S. legal tender? And I think the answer is probably no.
Well, they got to pay taxes.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate, like, everything comes back to you have to pay taxes. And you can't pay taxes anything but U.S. dollars. And then worldwide, you got to buy oil.
And you're not going to do that with Libra.
But that's changing a little bit. They've got a oil bourse that you pay in gold. And I think the Chinese are working on one. So that petrodollar is already under siege. And they do not want to open up another front with Mr. Zuckerberg. So, yeah, I think they will shoot that down rather quickly.
Open up a front with the machines.
More bad news if you're Mr. Zuckerberg, because the last thing that you want for your social network is attention from certain alphabet agencies.
The FBI plans more social media surveillance. It may gather user IDs, emails, IP addresses, and telephone numbers. I was really hoping that this story came after the Kazakhstan story, which is coming later, because the FBI is going full Kazakhstan here.
We do U.S. first, then Europe, then China.
And then everybody else.
Then Russia, then everybody else.
USA, number one. Not China, number
and then,
one.
And then we subsection federal first and then states.
I don't think George Orwell could have written a better RFP. This RFP has stuff in it that's like, we want to be able to, say, slurp up everything people are doing on social media in a given geolocation. Like, suppose we have a dignitary coming through. We want to just browse all the social media for everybody in the area that's doing things. And it's like, do you have that level of access now? Like, how are you going to do that exactly?
Well, I got some stories about that in the security section. But first, let's talk about FaceApp. Now, FaceApp kind of passed me by. I didn't get hit with the craze, but I don't really install very many apps on my phone.
Oh, it was all over Twitter.
Yeah.
It was all over Twitter, and, like, every tech channel did, like, old versions of it.
So,
except ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that would take literal minutes for us to install
this. No, because I don't install apps on my phone.
This is probably a spying app.
Well, listen, it may have been a spying app, but that could have gotten us sweet likes on Twitter.
We could have put it on
matters.
The burner phone, I guess.
Yeah.
Although that's getting a little old.
You're still putting your face in there.
So if you're like us, you've been under a rock, you don't know what it is. FaceApp is a thing where you take a picture of somebody's face, and it applies all these different kinds of filters and stuff and changes it in various ways. There are some accusations, because it is Russian-owned, or at least Russian-developed, I guess we should say, that they might be taking those face pictures and all the information that it scrapes off your phone to go along with them, send them back to the motherland.
Yeah. So the BBC has a story about Chuck Schumer has asked the FBI for an investigation. In the terms of service, it says that you're granting a worldwide, perpetual, royalty-free right to use your data and picture and likeness and all sorts of other fun stuff. So it's like, hey, wait a minute.
You're going to be in Russian advertisements. Congratulations. Unpaid.
Do you think that they'll, like, look at these ugly old Americans, be young and youthful like Russians?
There were a couple people that just kept feeding it. Like, they took a picture of themselves, and then they got an old picture, then they took the old picture and fed it back to the algorithm. And
does it progressively make them look older and older, or like does it? I'm sure it probably gets weird, right?
It makes them look older and older, and then it gets like super weird. And you know how in Call of Cthulhu they explain like it's incomprehensible. Like you look at it and you go insane. That's what it looks like at about iteration 7 or 8. So
I didn't see any of those.
The previous scandal that this app had is it had an ethnicity filter.
Oh.
So you could put your picture in and change it to another ethnicity. They removed that after some backlash. So, shockingly. But yeah, it seems like it does a pretty good job, you know. Even though it's kind of, remember the one that people freaked out about where it removed makeup?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't that great, but it was just good enough that people lost their minds.
Yeah.
So, and it is hugely popular. So we'll see. We'll see if the government steps in.
There's another app like that called Facetune, where like it makes your eyes slightly larger and you can narrow your face, and like basically it removes like your pores and stuff so your skin looks flawless. It's very strange. A lot of Instagram people use that.
That's definitely scraping your data.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
We have heard from 2 U.S. cities so far who have taken a stand and say no facial recognition. Now we have a third.
Oakland becomes the 3rd U.S. city to ban facial recognition for a lot of the same reasons, but not really a lot of new information here other than it's like, you know what, San Francisco, they're on the right track. Okay. Thanks, California.
That's things you thought you'd never hear on this news program.
You won't be able to have Oakland faces and your artificial person creator simulator. So you know what you might have to put together? An L.A. face with an Oakland booty.
That's a lyric from a thing.
Did you like think of that and like have it ready for like the last 3 or 4 days?
No, I just came up with it just now.
Can you imagine if we put more effort into this program?
So much.
Tell your friends. That's got to be worth the cost of a Patreon subscription right there.
Also, speaking of facial recognition, we have a story of a city who embraced it. And really, really tried to embrace it over and over and wanted to do it, but just couldn't.
Orlando, it's Florida. Where else would we be talking yeah, about?
Well, Florida man's on the loose there.
I mean, Florida has, it's so unique. Orlando police once again ditch Amazon's facial recognition software. The Florida city gives up on recognition. It's recognition with a K.
Hot and fresh out the kitchen.
It turns out that the software is everybody looks like a criminal, so it's a little bit of a problem.
Well, that wasn't the problem they had. You're confusing this with the British one.
Oh yeah, that's right.
This one is where they couldn't get it to work. All this time, they did not get a single camera to work in streaming mode.
Nice.
And they called up Amazon, and Amazon was like, "Look, just let us give you cameras." And they were like, "No, we want to use our cameras." And they just literally could not get it to work.
Well, that's good that the Oakland police have such terrible cameras. I mean, that's good, right?
Is it terrible cameras or is it just terrible employees?
I wonder if it's terrible broadband. Like, there's just like a 128 kilobit connection.
They did mention bandwidth. Although these were the ones at the police station. So, yeah, I don't know.
Way to telegraph to the gangs of Orlando. It's like, by the way, the cameras are so terrible that you've got free reign. Good luck.
But it's kind of sad because it's not like, oh, this is wrong, or, oh, this is ineffective and we shouldn't invade people's privacy because it doesn't work. No, it's just that they literally were so inept that they couldn't get the cameras to function.
And Bezos was like, here, have more cameras.
We know that for a long time there, phone companies were selling your location data to pretty much whoever asked for it, be they bounty hunters or advertisers or whatever. It didn't matter. You know, just you can have it. That was illegal. And now maybe some backlash finally.
Data broker LocationSmart will fight a class action lawsuit over selling AT&T data. Their position is, but it's not illegal.
Except that it is.
Well, it is, though. They keep saying that, you know, users agreed to this, and this is a thing, and it's totally fine, and we didn't break the law. Like, their actual position is, we didn't break the law. And it's like, but look, you can't sell people's location data. You have location data. And they're like, well, we might have the data, but we didn't break the law. Somebody else did.
AT&T is also included, and there was another location company, I can't remember the name of that one, who is also getting sued by California? Yeah, California Constitutional Rights. So this one is a federal lawsuit. Oh, Zoomigo. Zoomigo is the other one that's getting sued in California. So we'll see. AT&T is not saying a lot about it because, really, what can they say? Last week, we talked about in the nonsense section the Area 51 storming. And it has not gotten any less coverage. People are really in love.
It's all over Twitter.
Yeah, they're in love with this idea. So much so that the Air Force has felt the need to press release about this issue.
Facebook-driven Area 51 storming may be countered with force, says the U.S. Air Force. So you got to know that, like, there have already been meetings about this. Probably anything valuable in Area 51 has already been relocated somewhere else. I mean, come on.
And I'm sure they don't want the bad PR from gunning down a bunch of weebs. But they will
Naruto
do it.
Running
they will the absolutely. Base. Now they probably got a couple of those
water cannons.
No, I was thinking those sound cannons.
Oh yeah,
that make you vomit.
Yeah,
and, like, shoot your pants. So it won't be even an elegant, like, martyrdom. So don't think that you're going to go out in a blaze of glory as one of the freedom fighters. No, you're going to be lying in a pool of your own feces in the back of a paddy wagon. And then you're going to go away for a while.
Well, no, if you wear a diaper while you storm it, it's fine.
There you go.
Just keep moving.
Pro
Area 51 storming tip.
It'll be like exclusion zones, though. It'll be like, you know, the brown note zone, and then like the beanbag zone, and then probably like the water hose zone, and then like the salt-filled shotgun zone,
probably,
and then the bullet zone.
They're probably super excited about using their less than lethal, like trying them out. It's like, how is this going to work on crowd control?
I mean, look at what happened in Puerto Rico. That was like a non-lethal thing, and people still got brain damage from it and bled from their ears and all sorts of really terrible things.
Tear gas.
Yeah,
it won't be. It won't be fun. Be fun for me to watch if you want to go ahead and do it.
I think there'll be like a music festival right outside, and it's like, okay,
well,
listen to the music and then go storm.
The guy mentioned they've actually started another event that doesn't include storming, but it's going to be nearby.
Of course, yeah. For the people who just want to go
right
and cause more of a problem.
Is this Darwinism?
Well, this is you could say this is kind of a loosely connected to technology, but it's the data, right? This is a data set that was released. And I assume it was released to the public, and you can do your own math on it. But it's shocking that because of a government agency, we have such fine-grained data on something like this. And it is incredible.
The DEA tracked every opioid pill sold in the U.S. The data is out, and it's horrific. Just 3 drug makers and 6 distributors were behind the flood of opioids. So this data set pretty conclusively shows that the opioid epidemic is of a commercial nature and was manufactured by commercial interests.
Is there actually pictures of it? Because I read this article and was like, there's no, like...
The one I read had a map.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw no maps or graphs or anything on this version when I read it. And I was like, oh.
Ars Technica? Boo. So, yeah, but they do point out some interesting statistics. Like, I think... It was enough for everybody in the country to have a week's worth of pills.
Yeah.
Every year. So.
And it's super addictive, as we've seen.
10 days is the minimum.
And you'll do a lot to get, you know, once you're addicted.
But it went up by 50% between 2006 and 2012. And then there was some cities where there was enough for everybody in the city to have like 300 pills a year.
I also, Kentucky was specifically called out as being like one of the worst problem areas, and it's so totally true.
The sun shines but, bright on my old Kentucky.
As with all things, we can always look down on West Virginia, where it's worse.
I thought you were going to say Alabama, because Alabama's been taking the heat for us a lot.
No, West Virginia is the pill state. Or at least it has been traditionally. Oh, you know, Florida's pretty bad too, though.
Well, no, so Florida, because it's all the old people there, and then they pass away, and then people take the pills, and then they traffic them up.
Yeah, well, there were guys that got caught. Remember where they would take those tour buses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they would load everybody up on a tour bus, take them to Florida, get them all pills, and then bring them back.
Yeah, that was the thing. Drug tourism, I guess.
Nice. Might be one of those reasons that Florida's so screwed up. Yeah.
Just one.
Just one among many. It's a series of factors.
Last week we talked about the 3D printed houses, which were pretty cool. 48-hour houses and... What were they, $10,000?
They were four to ten. Well, ten now, four later.
Well, you mean they hope they're going to be four.
Well, yeah.
Not like, it's not an installment
plan. What's the square footage on those? I don't think I saw that story.
It was like 800.
It wasn't big, but
not terrible,
they were nice looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, and 48 hours.
For a small family, that would work.
That's a great use of 3D printing. And now we have another, perhaps more novel use of 3D printing, with a little bit of an asterisk being hopefully. We don't actually have it.
The U.S. Army is working on 3D printed body armor. 3D printing armor will allow the Army to print new and custom armors on the fly. So armors, yeah, think about your you know, everybody's different. Everybody's body is different. And so just step into the airport scanner that's been repurposed, basically, and get your 3D printed armor tailor-made for you in, you know, it's like 10-minute oil change, 10-minute armor change.
There's only one thing they have to figure out. One small detail that they don't have working yet. 3D printing ceramics. So, like, the basis of this, they can't quite do. But if we just figure out cold fusion, we can totally, totally take care of this energy crisis. Just one small detail we got to figure out.
See, the crazy thing, though, about this kind of materials application with 3D printing is that normally materials that are very difficult to work with, like mixed material type composites, you can do a lot of really fancy stuff by printing very intricate structures. So if we do figure out the ceramics, because it takes so much energy to shatter a ceramic, like the molecular bonds in a ceramic type thing, we can even add more strength to that by printing shapes and that kind of thing in a ceramic. So we may end up with metamaterials that are, you know, carbon fiber and ceramic or whatever, that are even more bulletproof and lightweight than what we have today.
I think the key to ceramics is how it shatters.
Yeah.
And that it shreds the bullet. And then you have a layer of like Kevlar or something to catch what's left. It doesn't have enough energy left. So
yeah, it's going to distribute the force over a large area.
So it's not that they have to make that better. They have to get that exactly right with the 3D print. But I'm sure they're throwing plenty of money at it.
And it also has to be able to survive more than one bullet hit, because it's like the first bullet is to, you know, because sniper rifles will do that with like the anti-material ones with the tank that have the ceramic plates. It's like they'll fire two rounds, one to take out the plate and the other one to get whatever's behind the plate.
I don't think plate carriers are rated for anti-material rifles. Even I think the transfer of energy would liquefy you anyway. So, like, well, you know, nothing got through. But he's basically pudding. So
sorry,
I don't know what we've saved there. This was a fascinating story about submarines. Now, here's the thing that immediately came to my mind by reading this. So, well, as we describe this to you, just keep this in the back of your mind. What kind of effect does this have on sea life?
That wasn't the thought that I had. But the U.S. Navy is developing supersonic submarine inside a bubble. I'll scroll down so you can see the diagram.
Well, you have to actually go to the website.
Oh, right.
As you... Lifeboat.com is kind of a crap website.
Look, it's got a tag cloud. What year is it?
But here on Daily Mail, we have this diagram.
So it's rockets. It's a rocket submarine. But it puts the air in the front. And it does this with super cavitation, so it just sort of pushes the water out of the way.
Well, it expels gas, which also made me wonder, do you have to have a huge supply of compressed gas?
I think they just burn it. Like, they have liquid fuel, they burn it, and it generates the gas.
Screw these fish in particular.
Yeah, like a turbine out front? Yeah, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
So, the thing that I thought of with this is a callback to what we were talking about at the very start of the news. This is warp drive for submarines.
Kind of. So they assume that, I mean, you're not going to break the speed of light here, but they do think that you could go up to the speed of sound underwater because there's literally no drag. You're traveling in a little pocket of gas. And pretty incredible. Now, you might think this is some crazy futuristic stuff. It turns out the Soviets already did this back in the Cold War.
Turns out that their Tsar Bomba, the underwater delivery capabilities of this, uses this, so we couldn't intercept it anyway.
So, but if this thing tears through a school of fish, what happens? I guess it would just push them out of the way with the pocket, right? Or would they break through?
Do you think the fish, like, how blown away would you be if you hit this little wall of, like, air?
Perhaps literally.
Yeah.
The crazy thing would be if the thing is traveling near the speed of sound, you wouldn't even hear it coming. It would just be like, and then that would be bad.
Well, I mean, the way sound travels underwater, you definitely wouldn't.
Yeah.
So, this, the Chinese apparently are, also have a version of this, also based on the Soviet Cold War technology. So everybody's stealing the Soviet technology here.
It's no wonder they made FaceApp.
Yeah. Did you see, there was a great a series of tweets, and some newspaper, or, you know, like online news website, did a fluff piece about Wernher von Braun. And it was like, this amazing German scientist came up with the rockets that put us to the moon. And then it's like, a couple hours later, there was a tweet. It's like, we'd like to apologize. It's just come to our attention that Wernher von Braun was literally a Nazi. And then a few hours later, another tweet. We apologize again. We've taken down the story. It may have been in bad taste.
How do you not run into that while doing a... Yeah. I don't know. Oh, by the way.
They had like a picture of him getting an award.
As we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Apollo moon landings, what was it you say? Let's not forget that we made it to the moon on the wings of a third rocket.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's literally what they were pointing out. It's like, we could have never gotten up there without his rockets. And I was like, oh, that's the ones they dropped on London.
It's a bad time.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Speaking of the EU, which didn't exist back in those days, but probably wouldn't exist now if not for that war, they have a tendency to pick the pockets of the tech companies, and they show no signs of slowing down.
The Verge brings us, the EU has opened an Amazon antitrust investigation, surprising no one. Amazon's data collection is being put under the microscope to see if any fees can be extracted. That last part I inserted.
This is about the... third-party sellers, and how Amazon extracts all the data from the third-party sellers, how it decides which third-party seller to show you, when it decides to put itself in front of the third-party sellers. All that business, the EU is saying, maybe you're not playing fair there. We're going to look into it.
Who do you root for in this fight?
I think we forgot to include it, or maybe we talked about it last week, but it turns out that journalists are starting to notice that the EU might be more interested in fines than protecting people's privacy.
I don't remember seeing that one, but it's pretty obvious.
Journalists are starting to take note.
Journalists note that water is wet.
More news later.
This one was what I thought of when I read that.
But Kristen, to answer your question, you got to be on Amazon's side, right? The EU's never delivered me a paper towels in 2 days.
That's true.
Listen, I was on the crapper, out of toilet paper, and by the time I got up, the toilet paper was at my front door.
There is like one-day delivery now.
The Amazon delivery driver was wiping my ass in 10 minutes.
He was crying while he did it, which kind of ruined the experience. But
sacrifices have to be made for that kind of... You know, if we're going to move society forward, that's what's going to do it.
But yeah, okay, so you were talking about this story, and this is just more.
More of the same
theme.
Qualcomm is fined again by European regulators for antitrust behavior. Every time that I've dug into this, and so this is a New York Times article, and it's got some information about Qualcomm and bidding and that kind of thing, but Qualcomm legit has the best technology right now. And there's this whole thing called FRAND, and they talk a little bit about that. And so, like, FRAND sets the rates, and that's what Qualcomm charges. And so it's kind of like, how is it antitrust if the industry regulators are literally setting the rates that you charge for cutting-edge technology that nobody else has?
But this is not right now. This is from years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're going back through the catalog. And it's like, I bet we can extract some money here. Get on it.
Well, I mean, money extraction versus justice served, this would seem to be a data point for money extraction, because if Qualcomm has been on good behavior for arguably the last 7-8 years, based on when this violation was.
But they, I didn't, something like that, there was a U.S. agreement, and they changed how they did it.
Yeah.
So the EU is literally just going back in time. And I, you know, a lot of people would argue that's what you need to do, right? Because it's not okay to ever let them get away with it. But at the same time, it's just all of a sudden they are just really literally just walking up behind these tech companies and just whispering in their ears like, don't move, just going in their pockets.
How far back is okay? I mean, are we going
to just let it happen?
Are we going to see somebody fining NASA for using Wernher von Braun's technology?
You got to give back those moon rocks.
And NASA's like, over my dead body.
Yeah, I don't know.
We worked hard for those rocks.
They can afford it for now, but what happens when they, you know, because I don't think, I think this is a snowball, right? Like every government's going to want their piece. So
see, also Italy.
Also, speaking of Europe, they had a bit of a problem.
Oh, yeah.
This week, last week, with their global positioning system.
ZDNet has the Galileo GPS services back as Europe looks at what went wrong. It was down for like a week.
That's a long time.
How does that happen? Good Lord. They said it was actually ground control software that was screwing up the calculations, and it took them a while to figure it out. It was like a compound problem.
They said a couple of different things. Yeah, like it was hardware, and then it was misconfiguration. And there was a...
It's like us trying to troubleshoot our audio. Really.
Yeah, and there was a problem with cause the time dilation calculation was wrong, which you think that's probably got to be a constant, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're not sure exactly what went wrong. Maybe a lot of things. Luckily, good old Uncle Sam was there to let him use GPS in the meantime. We should levy a fee to the EU.
It's a global positioning system, after all.
So,
dab on him.
Good job, us. We talked about Zuckerberg and his backtracking of Libra now that everybody's kind of figuring out what it is. And they're like, wait a minute. Is this some sort of currency to replace actual currencies? No, we can't have this. Meanwhile, Japan is low-key looking to nationalize in the other direction.
Japan is going to lead the development of a SWIFT network for cryptocurrency, according to sources. Now, SWIFT, if you're not familiar, is the private network banks use to try to keep banking transactions safe and separate from the rest of the public internet.
The difference here is fungibility. Like, converting dollars to Swiss francs is, it's just a conversion. But if you're going to convert Bitcoin to Litecoin, you got those blockchains to deal with.
Yeah.
So this is going to be infinitely more complex.
There's no concept of fractional reserve either.
Yeah, it's 1-to-1. Although you have to deal with local currency plus blockchain plus the differences between the two cryptocurrencies plus the currency that it's going to go into on the other end, maybe.
Yeah.
So that'll be very complicated.
Can you imagine if blockchain eventually becomes the point where, like, if a bank is using your fortune that is stored in the bank for fractional reserve lending, you can see that on the blockchain and are therefore entitled to a share of the profits from that?
Well, they're for sure doing that. They're always using that.
Well, I don't think that the person with the fortune in the bank is entitled to as much of the profit sharing as they would. Like, they would have a way to negotiate it because they could see how much the bank is making from...
But legally, I might be wrong about this, because I've read this in some like fringe publications, but I think the deal you sign with the bank, you essentially give them that money.
Yeah.
In exchange for their note.
A guaranteed return.
So they don't have to tell you what they do with that money, because it's not your money.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah.
So the answer to that would be a resounding no. And don't ask this again. This one shocked me. I would have bet a healthy sum that one day they would eventually do this. And maybe they still will.
I think this is fake news.
I just was telling someone about this and then read this and was like, well, crap.
BBC says, China's Project Dragonfly has been terminated in China. What has actually happened, probably, is the technology has been transferred to a local China subsidiary and work continues.
I like that it's in quotation marks in the headline here, too.
Terminated.
I don't know if it's... I don't think it's been BBC every time, but everybody who does a story about this has the best photos.
Well, this is these kind of like really a nice good one because it's like you have the Chinese flag and like a dragonfly is a really graphic element. Like,
but then like the stamp for like show me your papers.
Yeah.
Like that's really well done.
The only reason this would be terminated is if there exists better technology from local Chinese vendors to do the same. And then maybe they would cancel it.
Your foreshadow.
China's tech giants have a second job helping Beijing spy on its people. Uh-oh. Tencent and Alibaba are among the firms that assist authorities in hunting down criminal suspects, silencing dissidents, and creating surveillance cities. So, I mean, just a quick recap. What can you guys remember from stories of this that we've called? It's like software to track down people of the Muslim religion, people to track down people that have read a certain website, people to track down people that are talking in, or software to track down people in Hong Kong, controlling the internet in Hong Kong, the Great Firewall cutting off VPNs. I mean, what else?
You know, actually, it's interesting because Wall Street Journal isn't paywalling here. Oh, yeah, maybe it is. I was trying to get around the paywall, so I read a different story that was not quite the same, and it was about the company and, like, the U.S. tech companies are doing what you described with the Google Firefly thing, where they're working through a little local Chinese company, but putting all the power of IBM and Google doing exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Tracking every single aspect of a person's life. And what the... I can't remember which website it was, but they'd actually... They took a fake person and called them up, and they were like, you know, I'm interested in doing this in my little country somewhere. And they were like, let me tell you what we can do. And it was just an amazing suite of features that they could track literally everything about a person. So I imagine this is just feeding into that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a scary, scary time. Because it's a race to the bottom in terms of privacy and actual human rights. Like, you know, I love technology, but I worry about the future of humanity reading stuff like this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be less Star Trek and more Warhammer 40,000.
Yeah.
Where the individual just does not matter. It's all about the Imperium. And if you have to die, that's just
a risk they're willing to take.
That's what you do for the God Emperor. Over in Russia, they have... we've heard a lot of Russian stories about them banning our software.
Yeah.
VPNs, things like that.
Demanding a certain level of control.
It's not quite China level, but it's getting there.
Yeah.
And now they've taken it sort of in a different direction, but just as dystopian.
Russian lawmakers propose making local software mandatory on smartphones. So I was prepared for this story to be like about the mandatory spy software that is in China. It's not really that. This is more about, like, here in America, Verizon, we got like the NFL Sunday Ticket. Oh my God, you can't uninstall it. It's like that. They want to put software from local Russian companies on phones that may or may not have spyware, but at least China is like, no, we need to monitor you. You need to install our software. At least here, it's surreptitious.
Well, I think the Russian government is particularly upset that they don't have killer apps that everybody wants.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, all these people are using Instagram, and that's not Russian, and I don't know how I feel about that. So why don't we make a Russian version of that? Oh, wait, nobody likes this.
Nobody uses it.
What can we do about that? That's the answer.
We need Insta-Kremlin.
And they'll get it. And then it'll come to a time when it's like, dear comrade, you haven't opened Insta-Kremlin 5 times this month. You might want to do that.
They could start by, like, as popular as cats on the internet are here, they need to have, like, their bears that do the amazing tricks. Like, those, like,
those
360p videos of, like, a bear doing, like, this amazing stuff with, like, the shirtless guy that's just drinking pure vodka.
It's going to be tough to get the volume of bear pictures as we have cat pictures, as I'm sure bear ownership is not as
common, widespread
as you might think. As the internet would leave you to believe.
They'll just have to work twice as hard.
Just get more bears.
You said, you know, people love cats, and I thought you meant the Cats trailer, and I was like, I don't think people like that.
No, not the trailer.
Well, you...
strange rabbit hole to fall down the other day.
You alluded to this one, the Kazakhstan government, and it's interesting how they did this, because it kind of seems like, in a way, they were like, okay, how can we do this so that people... I mean, we're not just going to, like, completely spy on them. But then they were like, sir, the way HTTPS works, we can't really do that. And he was like, we'll just make them do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So ZDNet has the Kazakhstan government is now intercepting all HTTPS traffic. Kazakhstan government wanted to intercept HTTPS traffic way back in 2016, but they backed off after several lawsuits. Well, it's a thing now. They finally got their way. You have to install a certificate from the government as a trusted certificate on your device because they strip away like a Google or a ZDNet or whatever SSL certificate and replace it with their own in order to spy on all the traffic. Now, they say that this is because their monitoring software is going to protect the citizens from malware, but we know the truth.
They do re-encrypt it before they send it to you. They're nice enough to do that. It's like when they go through your luggage, they fold everything when they give it back to you.
It still smells of something from Borat. Is Borat still a funny reference? Like, I don't
that,
know.
It's sad, but that's about all I know about Kazakhstan.
The
Borat stuff.
The press release said that they only wanted to do this in the capital city, but
it's
everybody's reporting that they've had to do this. So it might be another situation where they're like, sir, we can't really do what you're asking. It has to be everywhere. Like, okay, fine. Make it everywhere then. So, sad. Also, Google has weighed in, and they're like, we don't know how we feel about this. We might have to take some steps to not allow Google services in Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
So
I was really excited about our next story, but then it was canceled.
Yeah, that's funny. This went into the list before it was canceled.
Yeah.
It was canceled yesterday, I think.
So there's the historic Chandrayaan. I don't know if it pronounced that too.
You're butchering it, but I can't correct
it. It's a moon mission. The India's going to the moon.
Yeah, they...
it was canceled. Rocket problem.
They've been to the moon before, but the thing about this one was the soft landing. The last time they went to the moon, they just like yeeted the probe down there. I was like, I hope it survives. But they're literally going to do the old lunar lander. If you're one pixel off, just burst into flames.
I cannot help but notice the timing of it. 50th anniversary of the U.S. moon landing. This could have been really inspirational.
It might still be.
I mean, it's still cool, even if it's not on the same day.
They will be the fourth country to soft land, should they pull this off. And they've got a couple of other things they're going to do. Sadly, I don't think they're going to like push the limits of science or anything by discovering anything new on the moon. I mean, it's getting kind of old hat at this point. What more can we learn on the moon? But maybe. Who knows?
So many other planets to visit.
Well, there's like one.
Yeah.
Oh, and this one. So back to you were talking about the FBI.
Oh, yeah. Spying on social media.
How are they going to do it?
Yeah.
Because like you say, the APIs, especially after Cambridge Analytica, have been locked down and you can't really scrape. So, like...
Turns out it depends on who you are.
How are you going to do it? Well...
An Israeli spyware firm can mine data from social media. So, an Israeli spyware firm is thought to have hacked WhatsApp in the past and has told its clients that it can scoop user data from the world's top social media, Financial Times reported on Friday. So, the vulnerability that's described here seems to be that if you have a piece of software or malware on a laptop or a phone that has access to these things, their software can impersonate your phone or your laptop to gain access through whatever tokens or security implements there are on those devices. And this is very bad because it suggests that those, like on Android, you have the secure enclave and things like TPM on PCs. And this suggests that the operating systems are not handling those secure tokens correctly. Because the whole point, like when you log into Google, it gives you a device-specific token. And if you were to steal that token and put it somewhere else, you shouldn't be able to get access to, you know, Google Drive or Office 365 or Microsoft Azure Cloud Services, that kind of thing. But that's exactly what the Israeli firm says they can do. They can impersonate your device and location and so on and so forth, which is very bad news for a lot of cloud providers.
I don't think we have any proof that they can do this, but...
We don't.
There's a lot of suggestion from certain security researchers and other people that these Israeli security firms have some government backing, maybe, like the ones who brought you Cellebrite and Stuxnet and all those various nasty things. This company is known to have created malware that would do what you described. So, like, they don't have the social media part proven, but we've proven that they do have the malware. So it's not that hard to believe.
Stealing the token shouldn't really be a big deal, but stealing the other part of the token, which is supposed to you know, be hardwired to like your physical device. That means that that's not implemented correctly. Sigh.
And if this angers you, just think about this part of it. Not only are they going to steal your social media data, but you're going to be paying for it via your tax dollars through the FBI to this company for them to do it.
Oh, no.
And we'll end on that.
You know what would be a better use of your dollars? Patreon. Level one. Patreon.com/level1. So there you go.
It's in the description. But it's fine if you don't want to. We appreciate anything you give us.
Thank you. See ya.
Bye.